Last summer, down in Surfside, Florida, there was a condominium building that collapsed. Does anybody remember that? Yeah, everybody remembers that. That was crazy, wasn't it? Called Champlain Towers. And it was horrific. Maybe 100 people or so died, something like that. And it seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, it just, the building's standing and then, boom, it's gone. But as the investigation proceeded, they discovered that there was an engineering report done by a group, maybe 6 or 8 months earlier, something like that, that had warned that there were some structural issues that needed to be remedied. But no rush, put it on your to-do list, don't worry about it. Another engineer interviewed on cable TV right after the collapse, was asked, you know, what's the reason, why did that building collapse? And he said, it's simple. Gravity is gravity. And he says, buildings just don't come down on their own. And he said, unless they're built right, or there's some kind of structural damage up underneath, he says, these buildings aren't going to come down. And he knew the building had been built right because it was sitting right on the ocean. Condos were selling for $1 million, $2 million, the oceanfront units. And so it was built right. So he concluded that there was something wrong with the structure, some kind of damage. And at the core, what he said was it was a foundational issue. And that's the theme for today. Foundations. I want to focus on foundations with you. So we're going to lean into 2 Timothy 1:5. It's just one verse. And I'm really excited to be on this verse, excited to be on the journey, Chris White, with you for 40 years. I actually met him prior to that at North Avenue Presbyterian Church. And I've watched Chris, and over the last couple of years, I've watched Mark do exactly what Paul did for Timothy. He modeled leadership. He modeled lifestyle to them. So to you two guys, I say thank you for that. So here's what Paul says. And remember, Paul's writing from a prison in Rome, and he's writing to Timothy, who at this time is a pastor at the church in Ephesus. And we're going to come back to that at the end. So listen to what Paul says. He says, Timothy, I am filled with joy. Isn't that great? What fills you with joy? Well, listen to what fills him with joy. He says, I am filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which was first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded, I, Paul, am persuaded, Timothy, that it's in you too. Just a few words, one verse, and it's incredibly powerful. How do you think that Paul, how do you think that Paul could be so confident? Well, he knew Lois, and he knew Eunice. He saw them working in the church. He saw their faith, and he knew that they were Jesus-following Jews. He knew that. He knew that. So he has a little bit of information from Paul, from Timothy's grandmother and mother. And he also knew Timothy because he had walked with him. He taught him. He discipled Timothy. He saw him in action, and he knew that truly that Timothy was following in his footsteps, emulating his lifestyle. He knew that. So Paul was confident, and he's so confident, and he so trusted Timothy that he partnered with him to carry on the ministry. That's a pretty big deal. Just like Chris is confident in Mark to carry on the ministry. He passed the baton. Paul passed the baton. This is his last book that he wrote, last writings. And it was really dedicated to preparing Timothy to carry on the ministry. So make no mistake about it, Paul was absolutely, fully persuaded that his faith was genuine. And you know, I had to smile just a bit when I got this assignment, thinking about Lois and Eunice, because it reminds me of my mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law was known, we all called her Mama Two. And just like Lois built a faith foundation in her daughter, Mama Two built a faith foundation in her daughter, in my wife, Marie. So Marie's faith foundation was built by her grandmother, Mama Two's mother, because she was a strong believer, Catherine. And then it was passed down to the next generation. Then it was passed down to Marie and her siblings. And then Marie brought me into the faith, and she introduced me to the faith. So it's been a real journey for us as we've built our foundation over almost 50 years of marriage. And then this foundation is strong enough that we have seen, Marie and I have seen, and we are filled with joy, trust me, just like Paul was filled with joy. We have seen our son Andrew, who's sitting right over here next to Ben, and our daughter Katie come to Christ. And we've watched as they've been instrumental in bringing their spouses, Natalie and Land, to Christ. And now they are bringing their daughters. I've got four granddaughters, which is the greatest thing in the world, by the way. I love it. They're bringing their granddaughters to Jesus. Caitlin, Britton, Finley, and Maren. So it's, and these girls love Jesus. So if my math is right, that's five generations. Five generations built on the foundation of Jesus. Five generations. And thinking back from my side, my grandmother and grandfather were incredibly strong believers. And so we've got another five generations on my side. So it's a generational thing in my house. And foundations, obviously, as we said, are faith foundations are incredibly important because gravity is gravity. And if the foundations aren't built right, there's going to be something that happens. There's going to be some kind of crack, some kind of storm in your life, in my life. Something is going to crack. And the storms will just crash in on us. But if you take time in the secret place, my friend Bob Boyle sitting right here is an incredible example for me. He is in, I get all these texts and emails from him. But it's you got to be in the Word. You have to be in the secret place. You got to spend time with Jesus. You need to be here. You need to develop your faith and encourage it and strengthen it here or podcast or at church or Christian TV or your worship music, wherever. You're always building your foundation. And Marie and I, as I said earlier, we've done that. We've done that over almost 50 years. And I got to tell you, Paul addresses this elsewhere. And I'm just going to read exactly. He speaks in 1 Corinthians 3. And he says that, he said, starting in 10, and I'll skip just a bit. But he says, God has given me unique skills as a skilled master developer. Hey, I'm pretty good at this. That's what Paul's saying. I am pretty darn good at this. And I lay good foundations. And he says, the quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will soon be apparent, whether it's built with gold, silver, and costly stones, the good stuff, or if it's built on wood, hay, and straw, the not-so-good stuff. Paul goes on to say, he says, their work will soon be evident, for the day will make it clear, because it will be revealed by a blazing fire, and the fire will test and prove the workmanship of each builder. If his work stands the test of fire, he'll be rewarded. If the work is consumed by the fire, he will suffer great loss. Jesus also talks a lot about foundation, and y'all will remember these. I'm just going to refer to one from Luke 6:47. And he says, what good, this is Jesus, what good does it do for you to say, I am your Lord and Master, if you don't put into practice what I teach? Jesus goes on to say, let me describe the one who truly follows me and does what I say. Follow me and does what I say. He is like a man who chooses the right place to build a house, and then he lays a deep and secure foundation. And when the storms and the floods rage against that house, it continues to stand strong, unshaken through the tempest, for he built it wisely on the right foundation. Verse 49, but the one who has heard my teaching and does not obey, he's like a man who builds a house without laying any foundation at all. Nope. That's unfathomable. So Bob Bowles, you built millions of square feet. Have you ever built a building without a foundation? Never. Never. You don't do that. Well, that's what Jesus is comparing this guy to. It's like a man who builds a house without laying any foundation, and when the storms and the flood rage against that house, it will immediately collapse and become a total loss. And then Jesus asks a really, really, really important question. Which of these two builders will you be? Pretty powerful stuff. So Jesus and Paul are both speaking bluntly. Floods are going to come. Fierce winds are going to come. And if your foundations aren't solid, if they're built with wood and clay and hay and straw and built on sand, he says, you better watch out, because it's not going to be a pretty sight. Foundations are going to crack, just like they did in Surfside, Florida. It'll be a train wreck. I mean, it's going to be a train wreck. But conversely, if you build your house on a solid foundation, it's going to withstand all these. It's unshakable. I love that word. It's unshakable. So let me give you just a quick little context, and then we'll come in for a landing. I want to remind us all, I had to remind myself, that Paul had planted the church in Ephesus. All right, he planted it. And then there was this great stream of pastors came in. The preaching team came in. You had Paul, you had Apollos. Over time, Timothy actually became the pastor, and he was followed by the Apostle John. So, I mean, these are like legendary people, and they had generational impact. But there must have been some kind of crack in the foundation at Ephesus. I mean, imagine that. Imagine there is a crack in that church. How could that be? Well, we know there was a crack because John wrote about it in Revelation 2. Maybe about 40 years or so after Paul had planted the church, John writes in Revelation 2. First off, this is Jesus speaking, but he commends the church. He talks about some great things that y'all have done. Awesome. I love it. Go get them. But, Jesus says, I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me in the beginning. You've abandoned your first love. Repent and do the works of love. So we got to be careful about generational faith. You got to be really careful about that because it can be tricky, to be honest with you. Look what happened at the church in Ephesus. And we need to know that, and we need to understand it. And we've got to be, we have to know that generational faith is not the way into the kingdom. It's all about your individual faith. That's how one is brought into the kingdom. It's not the faith of your parents or your grandparents or your pastor or the legendary preaching team like they had in Ephesus or your worship leader. And listen, generational faith is awesome. I've been the recipient of it. It's amazing. But it is incumbent on each one of us to build and secure the foundation in our own lives. And then we have the responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. That's what we do. Now listen, many of us are fortunate to have this, been blessed with a foundation that's been built on the backs of believers. It's true in my family. But what if that's not true in your family? What if it's not true for you? The question is it too late to build the foundation? Well, the answer is absolutely not. It is not too late. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone in the foundation. All things are possible. What incredible blessing it's going to be for you to be the first one to lay the foundation, the faith foundation in your family. And I encourage you to start building it today. Continue to build it. Nothing is impossible with God. And I am confident, I am fully persuaded. I got zero questions, none, zero nada, that when you do, that your foundation will stand the test of time. Either way, whether you're first generation or fifth generation, story like me, you have to get the word deep in you. I see my friend Dave Dorries. I didn't see you earlier, Dave, sitting back there, and Dave's been a great mentor to me for almost 40 years, I guess it is, talking about these exact same things. Thank you, David, for that. So back to the original engineer at Champlain Towers. Here's what his report said. He said, "You got a problem." And he says, "You need to address it. But you got time. No rush." And I'm going to say, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's a very good answer. Because gravity is gravity. And seemingly, maybe out of nowhere, can't even imagine it happening, you're going to see a crack in your foundations. How do we make sure that our foundation is strong? Here's the challenge and the takeaway for today. First thing you got to do is you got to choose good materials. Don't be building on straw and hay. Don't be building on false gospel. Build on the truth. Build on solid ground. Make sure that Jesus is your cornerstone. And then also, finally, don't forget to inspect the foundation. They had a report. Champlain had a report, but they didn't do anything about it. And the way you inspect the foundation is you study the Bible. You read the Bible because the Bible reads you when you're reading it. So stay in fellowship just like you're doing here, and that's part of that inspection process. So the time's now. Don't delay. Storms are coming. The winds will howl, and gravity is gravity. But with Jesus as your chief cornerstone, if he's there, and if the Holy Spirit is guiding you and empowering you, you will withstand the storms. Amen? Amen. Amen. Join me in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, what a good, good, good Father you are. You share stories through your Son Jesus of these amazing women, Lois and Eunice. I mean, what a great story. I love it. And I thank you for that. And I thank you personally that I'm part of a five-generation story. But Father, You're not interested in the generational story. You're interested in our individual stories. How we come to you, how we stay connected to you, how we build our foundation. So I pray that each man here will take to heart the words from your holy scripture, and they will remember that they are building a foundation. And that is how we withstand the storms. I thank you for that. Thank you for the men here this morning. Pray that you will bless them. Thank you for the men online. Pray that you will bless them in incredible ways today. In the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, amen and amen. Have a great time at your table.